Christian said he'd call the next day, but in boy time, that meant Thursday. So you can imagine my astonishment to hear from him while I was packing Daddy up.
Hello?
He said he'd come over with some videotapes and we'd watch them. Ah, a night alone with Christian? I sent for reinforcements. Then Dee and I had to design a lighting concept. And costume decisions. I don't rely on mirrors, so I always take Polaroids. Whenever a boy comes, you should always have something baking.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Retro Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to have a computer program that chooses his outfits for him, Alex Birkins. Burke, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. No, I pretty much just grab whatever's on top of the pile.
Were you also freaked out in like the opening scene of this movie when she had that on her computer? I'm like, what? Where are we? I know she's rich, but this does not exist. We don't have this.
Yeah, you just don't know because you're not ultra wealthy.
Of course. I don't have a 3D model of myself in there, which was also weird.
Why do you not? Get it together.
Yeah, I got to get on it. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the show where every week Perk and I review a movie that was connected to the last one. If you like our show, we post every Friday morning, and be sure to tell your friends about it and watch movies with us. We are in the middle of our female voices string where we're highlighting movies directed and or written by women. And this week, we watched a little movie called Clueless. Our connection from last week was Brittany Murphy, who played Daisy in Girl Interrupted, and this time she's playing Ty. But yeah, Perk, why don't you interest me for us?
Yeah, all right. Clueless is a 1995 joint written and directed by Amy Heckerling, which is why it falls into our string here. It is a, like, 90s teenage girl adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, starring Alicia Silverstone, Brittany Murphy, Paul Rudd, Stacey Dash, Donald Faison, Breckenmeyer, everybody, Walshon.
Statcast. So many people are like, oh, I know that person.
Yep. And a couple of fun facts. Near the beginning of the movie, Cher fails to pronounce Haitians, and apparently Alicia Silverstone actually did not know how to pronounce Haitians and called them Haitians. And the director, Amy Heckerling, said, nobody correct her. It's funny.
Great choice.
And then at one point, Ty calls Cher a virgin who can't drive. And thought it was funny because at that point in her life, she was a virgin who couldn't drive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was a great insult. So, Perk, are you familiar with Jane Austen's Emma?
No. I'm not. No, okay. I'm not.
Okay. Because, yeah, I should look it up after I see what the plot of it is, because I didn't even know.
The plot of it's pretty much the plot of this movie. I looked it up.
All right. And did you say you've seen this before? A really long time ago?
It may be a very long time ago, but it didn't look super familiar.
Okay. So what'd you think of it?
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, this is a fun movie.
It is. It's super fun, you know? Like, it's tough because, you know, all I do is hate on, you know, stuff that's on the beaten path, and this is just like, you know, a white girl teenager in high school and her problems and being wealthy and but it's just so damn charming, and there were a lot of times in this movie where I actually laughed,
you know? Yeah, for sure.
Like, there are funny movies that I don't actually laugh at, but like, I was chuckling a good portion of this movie. There's just a lot of funny stuff in there.
Definitely. I think what sets it apart is how self-aware it is.
Definitely.
Like, yep. It definitely knows exactly what it's doing, and that's why it works. And yeah, I totally agree. Like, on paper, I should hate this main character of Cher, but she's so charming. Like, though she's like the rich white girl, but she's not like snobby. Like, she's genuinely has good intentions. It just doesn't come off well a lot of the time, but she's not like mean, you know?
No, like her heart's in the right place, but she, as the movie's titled, she's clueless. Like, she just doesn't understand. And, you know, I'll start with a nitpick. it's not actually a nitpick, because we've talked about how I don't like narration in movies, but it works so well in this movie because she is the star of her own story.
Yes.
You know, like, it makes sense that she'd be narrating to herself because, of course, she's narrating to herself, you know?
Yeah.
No, the world revolves around her.
In other movies, when you hear narration, it feels like the character talking to the audience. Where in this movie, it's her talking to herself. It's like her inner
monologue,
monologue with herself. I do want to get this out in the front here. There is some out-of-pocket shit in this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
That is like, okay, you're using the R word a couple times. And it's like, yeah, it's the 90s. Like, I'm not super shocked, but it's like, all right. That just came out of fucking nowhere. I think the representation's pretty good in this movie. Like, obviously, like, she has a black, what, like, best friend who actually, like, is present and like has a character.
Yeah.
And pretty good gay representation, even if some of the stuff that's said about gay people isn't great. You know, I think, you know, especially the guy who turns out to be gay, like, actually becomes her friend. You know, there's more to do after that reveal, and like Lady Bird we saw, where he kind of drops off after we get
he's
twist.
Just not part of the story anymore after that twist.
Yeah, like, he's actually, like, they're still friends. So
who would have thought?
I think it's pretty
Clueless
solid
has
overall.
More nuance than Lady Bird. don't quote me part. On that. I'll get beat up at the A24 hangout meetings.
But yeah, I just had so much fun. I loved kind of similar to Booksmart. Like, a lot of side characters are just fun. Like, especially Travis, the stoner skateboarder kid. He's so just, like, sweet awesome. And fun to watch. When he's using his skateboard as his lunch tray, I lost it, dude. Like, how is this actually happening?
That was one of the things, like, you know, having, like, stories rooted in reality is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, if you're making a movie that's supposed to be fun, yeah, you can have side characters that are just caricatures, like, like this, you know, like, what Travis is, he's just a cartoon character, and it's hilarious.
The thing, though, like, he is, but they, like, they are characters in the movie, but they talk about, like, real shit that I appreciate. Like, they just very openly talk about, like, sex in this movie, and it's not, like, a big deal. It's, like, they just talk about it, and I really like that. But going back to Travis, one of my favorite scenes is when the teacher is listing, like, the amount of, like, tardies or whatever.
Yeah.
And Travis gets the most, and he goes up and gives a speech, and he's like, I give thanks to, when he's like, McDonald's for having those Egg McMuffins. It's like shit that, like, I don't know, actual reasons people are late to school.
I want to thank my parents. I want to thank my parents for never driving me to school.
Yep. Oh my god, it is so good. I did want to ask you, though, like, how did you feel about Brittany Murphy in this movie versus Girl Interrupted? Because it's just a completely different character.
I think it is a tragedy that she was taken from the world so young, because clearly she's an incredibly versatile actress.
Oh, yeah. Wait, has she passed away?
Yeah, she was murdered.
Oh my god.
Yeah, when she was like 30? Well, allegedly murdered.
Oh, wait
murdered.
A second. Oh, my, okay. We go on a quick tangent here.
Yeah, we go tangent.
Is this related to 8 Mile? Where was she the... Okay, I'm sorry. I need to do just a quick...
All right.
I went down this rabbit hole like a few years ago, and it blew my fucking mind. Da, da, da. Okay, so...
Yeah, essentially, Brittany Murphy's ahead. Great in this movie. I think, like, she's just so believable, and I... Absolutely, like, a teenage girl kind of misfit who just wants to fit in, and to see, like, her warped into a monster it's a real good turning point for Alicia Silverstone.
But, like, she's not even that much of a monster. Like,
no,
it's very
no,
much like
she's still, like,
shit.
A nice person. Just, it's like Cher's finally staring in a mirror and, like, oh god. Is this what I am?
Well, I'm also looking this up on the side. Okay, I will say, watching this movie in 2022 is just really funny, because when this movie started and, like, Paul Rudd's character is introduced as, like, the stepbro, and I'm like, oh, haha, oh, stepbro, like, that kind of shit. I'm like, they're not going to do it. They did it. I was just like, this is so weird. Like, he's fucking 16, and this dude's in college. It's just, I don't know.
So
that felt a little weird to me.
I think if we take liberties with these... With his undefined age, we can say if he's a freshman in college,
yeah, he's like
he
19.
Could be 18 or 19.
Yeah.
So it's not the most egregious thing ever, but yeah, it's a little wonky.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. obviously they had no idea where the porn industry was going to go in the future, but just like where it is now, and then watch this movie, I'm like, this is just so funny to me. Okay, yeah, so quick deal about Brittany Murphy, because yeah, I went on this rabbit hole for whatever reason. I was on IMDb and like looking at 8 Mile for whatever reason. She's like one of the main people in that movie, and then I saw like she died, and I was like young. I'm like, oh shit. So I looked into it, and yeah, she like died of like, they didn't really figure out how she died, but there was like weird stuff in her body, like they made like anemia or drug intoxication, and I can't find it right now, but basically like she moved to this new place, this new house or apartment or whatever, and after that she got sick and passed away, and they like checked the apartment and couldn't figure out like what, if there's anything wrong with the actual place, and somebody else moved there and died of the same shit, but they could never figure out what was going on in that apartment. So like it seemed like there was something to do with that like place, but they couldn't figure it out. Really, really weird.
Yes, and horribly tragic because she is a fantastic actress.
Yeah.
She's great in this movie too.
She's so like, good, yeah. She yeah. plays like the new kid great, but I love how she's introduced as like, she's like trying to smoke and like, you know, the artist, but like kind of, but then you see Cher mold her and yeah. she becomes the thing she most despises.
Herself.
But she keeps her. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, she keeps her her like sweetness the whole time, and yeah, no, she was fantastic. And I also loved, I want to get his name here, the guy who turns out to be a Christian, his character. Obviously, you get they put in the seeds pretty early.
Yeah,
unlike,
it's,
in, like,
it's
Lady
pretty
Bird
well telegraphed.
Coming.
Yeah,
but God, that was still so funny though. and how that progressed, I thought was great.
No, I agree. And I think I will not go so far as to say all of the actors in this movie were fantastic, but I think a few of them were. I think Alicia Silverstone is...
She's incredible.
She's drop-dead amazing. Come on, mm-hmm. She absolutely sells it just to perfection. Just the prim and proper white fashionista who's ultra-wealthy in high school and assumes the world revolves around her. She's spot-on. Mm-hmm. And she's hilarious. Her delivery is so good in so many scenes.
Oh, yeah, I know. Even with this script, I think if it was a different actress, it would have come off, like, as kind of snooty or annoying. But, yeah, she just, like, she makes that character so charming and fun to watch. And you root for her the entire movie, even though, like, you probably shouldn't. But, like, she sells it. She's fantastic.
No, and, like, if an obvious comparison for this movie is, like, Mean Girls...
Yeah.
Which is also about girls in high school. I think she's way more believable as like an actual high school girl than any of the women in Mean Girls.
Yeah, for sure. Mean Girls feels like 20-year-olds playing high schoolers.
Playing high schoolers, yeah. Whereas this, like, she absolutely could just be like 16, 17 years old. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's spot on. A great portrayal.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other, like, funny scenes in this movie. Because, I mean, I don't have too much more to talk about. Just, like, general stuff. Like, it's great. Super enjoyable. Charming.
I gotta grill you.
Grill me.
This wasn't a Disney Channel original movie, was it, Jacob?
No. It was definitely better. It's definitely more mature, obviously, just because of the things that are brought up. But,
a lot more.
Yeah,
I mean, they even have, like, a borderline, like, a sexual harassment scene. Like, Disney wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Which was done really well, I'll say. Like,
yeah.
It was done well without having to be too, like, exploitative or, like, gratuitous.
Right.
Her getting robbed immediately after, I'm like, okay, I guess. But that was funny, her having to call Paul Rudd stuff. I want to mention, too, I also liked her dad. Like, he's a hard ass, but he does love his daughter and will, like, help her out. But the fact that she's, like, trying to feed him healthy food and he's like, fuck no, like, get the shit out of my face. Or, like, no phone calls at dinner, immediately takes a phone call. Like, he was really a funny character to watch.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you can tell that, like, there are, like, scenes throughout this movie where, you know, like, she's painted as pretty much just, like, a bad guy for the mm-hmm. beginning part. But, like, just the way she treats her father and, like, wants to take care of him, wants to do the best for him. Like, it's shown pretty clearly that she has, like, a caretaker's soul. So her brain might be in the wrong place a lot of times, but she wants to help people. So you can tell.
Yeah, she always has good intentions. She doesn't always have good effects. And, like, I'm kind of surprised that, like, she gets the two teachers together and it works, and then we just move on. Like,
yeah.
For another movie, that would be the entire plot.
I think that's like the inciting event in the book, I think. Allow me to talk about a book I haven't read.
Yeah, go for it.
And then, yeah, so basically, like, she matches up a couple of older folks and then realizes, oh, I might be good at this matchmaker stuff, and then goes on to, you know, do her thing. And, yeah, I haven't read it. So I can't go much more into detail, but...
That's, you know what, obviously that totally makes sense, but it's funny, like, after she shipped the teachers and then try to set up Ty with, I don't know, the annoying dude, I didn't even connect those two events. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is like a friend thing to do. But I'm an idiot. I should have just been like, oh yeah, obviously she saw that a success and then decided to keep moving. But,
No, yeah, and I think to, like... You know me, and I love creativity, and I think it is so cool that Amy Heckerling, the writer-director, adapted a prehistoric novel into a teenage drama-comedy. Like, I love creative nonsense like that. Like, let me tell you about one of my favorite movies ever that I haven't seen. That is an adaptation of a book I haven't read. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? the Coen Brothers movie? I've never seen it because I want to read The Odyssey first, because it's like a shot-for-shot retelling of The Odyssey, but in, like, old Western times. I just...
Yep.
I love nonsensical adaptations like that. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, it was on TV when I was a kid. I remember laughing, but I probably wasn't understanding, like... 90% of the jokes are being made, but
yeah, it's Coen Brothers, so it's sure to be dry.
Yeah, for sure. I did write down in my notes, I want to make sure this is mentioned, they mentioned Marky Mark in this movie, and that made me laugh hysterically.
As in from the Funky Bunch?
Yes, as in Mark Wahlberg, for those who don't know. He did used to be a rapper.
I noticed this movie has a good score because it pretty much just, like, it pulls music that absolutely sounds like it's from that time period, probably because it was, but, like, they use Counting Crows, and I'm like, yeah, this is this is spot on, which reminded me that I forgot to mention when we watched Lady Bird, they had a liberal use of the Dave Matthews Band, which I think is so funny because, yeah, that movie takes place in like 2002. Of course, everyone was just listening to Dave Matthews and crying in a field. Like,
yeah, this movie felt, I mean, granted, we were born at the end of the 90s, but this movie just felt very 90s. It just hit its tone and setting very well that you're just in it the whole time. Another funny thing I just remembered was when Christian's like picking her up and Paul Rudd is like jealous and he's like, you're gonna let a girl out like that? She's like, put something over that dress because she's wearing like the white. She's like, I'm just about to. She puts on see-through like button down shirt. I'm like, all right, this is hilarious. But yeah, I don't have too much more to say. It was just a very fun movie. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised it took me this long to watch it, question mark. I don't, as I stated, I might have seen it at some point, but...
Yeah. I had heard it was good, but I kind of just wrote it off. It's like, oh, I'm just probably to some dumb, like, rom-com or something. But no, it's a great time. And, like, I guess it is technically a rom-com, but thankfully the rom isn't that, like... It's not the typical rom-com where boy-girl fall in love and then there's a crisis and they get together at the end. I guess that is kind of what happens, but that's not the main focus of the movie. It's more about being Cher, which is just really fun to watch. As far as recommendations, you mentioned Mean Girls. I thought of Mean Girls, but I was thinking more Legally Blonde. This is going to be way more Legally Blonde vibes of just kind of more of a fun movie about a likable protagonist that is doing stuff.
Sure. I'll throw in a recommendation that I think I would recommend you watch, even if I don't think we're going to get to it on our female voices list, but same writer director, Amy Heckerling, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I did definitely want to watch it after seeing this movie.
It's it's like a high school type, it's last day of school vibe. Mm-hmm. It is very funny. It's got a bunch of actors that are like, "Oh wow, like Sean Penn plays like a stoner." Like
in, like a high school stoner with like long hair. Like, this is Oscar winner Sean Penn. So it's it's funny to see stuff like that. And Fast Times is absolutely a fun movie. In a similar vein.
Yeah, I always thought Fast Times was by the guy I'm blanking who did Breakfast Club.
Oh, John Hughes.
John Hughes. I always thought it was a John Hughes movie.
No, it's a little raunchier than like the John Hughes type movies. Gotcha. That's like, yeah, also, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles.
Right. By the way, I've not seen either of those.
Oh, we'll find a way to get there. It's tough because that the Brat Pack, I think they were called, they kind of were all in movies together, and that's about it. But we'll find a way.
Yeah. I definitely need to see Breakfast Club before I die. Ideally on this podcast.
I mean, what else is this podcast for? It's not for our legions of millions of viewers.
It's just to make you force me to watch movies. But yeah, that is our review of Clueless. Stay tuned to find out what we're watching next week. But before that, we get some bonus reviews. Burke, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, it's only kind of a half mini bonus review because I've seen it before, but rewatched Knives Out.
Oh, okay. Was it because the trailer for Knives Out 2 came out?
Yeah, because I think my dad had not seen the first one, but my mom saw the trailer for the second and was like, well, we gotta watch this. So I was like, yeah, it's a good excuse. So, yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's a phenomenal movie. It's a really fun whodunit. It's a whodunit where they kind of tell you who did it. And it's a nice, see Ryan Johnson, this is how you subvert expectations, by telling us whodunit 20 minutes into the film. You don't subvert expectations by just shitting on an IP.
Let's not go down the Last Jedi.
We'll stay away from episode eight. Yeah.
Are you? I can't remember if we talked about it last week or if we talked about it off the podcast. But are you excited for Glass Onion?
I'm very excited. I think the cast looks amazing. It's got a couple of heavy hitters and like some underrated gems. Like, I think a lot of people sleep on Dave Bautista as a comedic actor. He's very funny.
I mean, Guardians. He's hilarious in Guardians.
Oh, definitely. He's got dramatic chops, so I mean, this is going to be a comedy, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah. He was really good in Blade Runner too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited. The trailer for Glass Onion didn't really do it for me. I guess, like, just because it's so hectic and frenetic, and it didn't feel like a whodunit type movie based on that trailer. It felt more just like, here's a bunch of crazy people on an island and crazy shit's going to happen. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'll still watch it because I love Knives Out. But maybe I just love Ana de Armas. I don't know. Yeah, might have been the reason.
She's great.
She is fantastic.
I gotta try and watch Blonde here at some point.
What's that coming out again? Is that this month?
End of September, yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'm gonna be absolutely booked up in October because every anime ever is coming out. So I'll be trying to keep up with that.
Fair enough.
All right, my review is an interesting one because I had to watch it for my food policy class. I'm in a class and we have to watch like documentaries about the food industry and reviews about them.
Sure.
So the one I watched was called Wasted, The Story of Food Waste. I'm not a documentary guy. I prefer nonfiction, or I prefer fiction when I'm watching stuff for like escapism. I don't like finding out how even more of the world is fucked up. Because, you know, I already know too much. But I will say, I really like this documentary. It's on Hulu. It was produced by Anthony Bourdain. So I think that helps it a lot because he's very much a no-nonsense kind of person. So he's not going to do a project like this unless he feels like it's actually worth doing. But I think they did a really good job of describing like the current food waste problems, why it's a problem, and some potential solutions that industry can do, chefs can do, and like the average person can do. And at the end, like, made me feel a lot more hopeful about the situation, which is what you want. So, I just thought, like, super well produced, great graphics, great narration. I like the chefs they interviewed for it. And I feel like they covered kind of all sides of the topic. Like, you could argue maybe it's a little bit biased, but I don't know. I couldn't think of a good counter argument to anything they were saying in the film. So if you want to learn more about food waste and some ways to fix it, check out Wasted. it's worth watching.
Fair enough. I am a documentary guy, but
yeah.
To be fair, I steer away from the documentaries about the tragedies and disgusting underbelly of real world society. I go for stuff I know nothing about because it's usually super cool to learn about. Like, there are a couple rock climbing documentaries on Netflix that are just super interesting and gripping. Yeah. And
I have seen Free Solo, which is amazing.
Yeah, Free Solo is a great one. And then I'm sure I've told you about it before. Well Groomed. It's a documentary about creative dog grooming, like people who like dye their poodles funky colors.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff.
Kid told me about that. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, see, I just love documentaries about stuff I know absolutely nothing about. It's like I didn't even know this was a thing, bro. So it's on HBO Max.
That's actually hilarious, because that's what I use TikTok for. Like, TikTok is how I find stuff like that.
Fair.
When I think of documentaries, I think of like history, boring, or like murder. Or, like, criminals that are just horrendous, which makes me sad. Or it's, like, dark underbelly society shit, which makes me sad. So that's why I tend to steer clear of them. But that's a good point. I would watch those kind of documentaries, I think.
If you are, if you're looking for something to watch, it's under an hour long. It's and it's on HBO. It's called Well Groomed. Would recommend because it's just so out of left field.
Okay.
Super fun watch.
I'll be honest, when you said well-groomed, I'm like, is this about some groomer dude who, like, was grooming kids?
No, it's about people the world who we live in now. Dye their poodle's hair.
Fantastic. I also, just this morning, finished my rewatch of Mob Psycho 100, one of the best anime ever made. Can't recommend it enough, but...
You say that all the time.
I know. If you're out there listening to this, you already watch anime and you haven't watched this one yet, this is your call to action to do it before Season 3 comes out next month. If you don't watch anime, I'm not going to convince you with this one. But
I suppose, fair enough.
Because the art is very off-putting and, like, intentionally kind of, like, doesn't look great, but it allows them to do some really cool things.
Sure.
Like, the animation is good, but the art isn't, like, necessarily, like, appealing. At least at first, you get used to it, but...
Gotcha.
Anyway, one of my favorite shows. So that's our podcast for this week. Next week, we're finally going to watch a movie I wanted to... start with on this string. Lost in Translation, Sofia Coppola's kind of breakout hit, that is streaming on Tubi, or you can rent it. I think Tubi is free, though. It just has ads, but
yeah,
maybe.
Just free with ads.
Yeah, so if you want to watch ads, you can watch it on Tubi. Otherwise, just pay the $3 or $4. But next week, Lost in Translation. But until next time, thanks for listening. Bye
bye.